This is PodTech News for Monday, November 13th. I'm Matt Kelly in Los Angeles. Is 100 miles per gallon possible for vehicles in the near future? One organization believes so and has already developed the technology to achieve it. CalCars, the California Cars Initiative, is a group of entrepreneurs, environmentalists, engineers, and other citizens working to spur adoption of efficient, non-polluting automotive technologies. The company originated in response to interest in advanced automotive technologies, support from current owners of electric, natural gas, biofuel, and hybrid vehicles, and the realization that fleets and early adopters have the buying power and resources needed to jumpstart the market for better cars. I spoke with John Davi, CalCars Director of Communications, about the organization and its mission to encourage automakers to produce 100 mile per gallon high-performance clean hybrid cars.
CalCars, we describe ourselves as a non-profit startup. Basically, we merge technology with advocacy. What that means is specifically toward plug-in hybrids. We work on technology projects to show what's possible, and then we advocate the heck out of them. And so with plug-in hybrids, which are our main focus and have been for a few years, we've converted Toyota Priuses. I think we're at 4 total that we've individually converted. I think we're on our 5th right now, mainly to get vehicles on the road, to prove that, hey, a handful of backyard engineers can do this with an existing car. It's completely possible with the technology that's here today. And we take those cars everywhere and do what we can to get them in the media, to talk to politicians, and to do whatever we can to get automakers to do it the right way. We were started by Felix Kramer. We're a very small institution, 3 people full-time strong, with a wider network of volunteers. Felix has treated this as a personal mission for a number of years. So he's been at this full-time for more than 4 years, focused specifically on plug-in hybrids. Our end game is specifically to get automakers to produce plug-in hybrids for consumers to buy.
And explain PHEVs, plug-in hybrids. How do they work?
A plug-in hybrid is essentially a regular hybrid with more batteries and a plug. Hybrid is basically, it's a regular gas car with some batteries in there that capture some braking energy that you can then reuse to help you accelerate a bit and to help you when you're coasting at a consistent speed. And so that recaptured braking energy helps to offset some of the gas. But hybrids right now are totally gas-fueled. So a plug-in hybrid basically just takes that, adds more batteries, and lets you charge those batteries from an outlet. It's a very small technical change, doesn't really change anything about the car, but it's a very big change in terms of what the car becomes, because instead of becoming a gas-fueled car, it becomes an electric vehicle with a gas tank backup, because you get to run on that battery power for with a plug-in hybrid about 30 miles a day. Exclusively on batteries.
So this technology exists. Why aren't we seeing major automakers act on it, given the great success that hybrids already have?
A couple different reasons for that. Automakers are still concerned about one thing, and that's the batteries. And that's probably the most legitimate of concerns that they've held. They've held a number of others that have sort of gone by the wayside, that consumers don't want to plug in, which was very quickly dismissed as folly, given that plugging in is cheaper, cleaner, it's domestic, and it's a lot easier than filling up with the gas tank. They argued that it was technically infeasible, and groups like CalCars and other folks have shown that's not the case. But batteries, they're sort of still a gray area. We think they're ready. We have cars on the road that show they're ready. Other companies, for-profit companies that have converted cars, have had one vehicle is up to 40,000 miles on current batteries with no loss and no degradation in the battery itself. But that's their concern. Why haven't they done it? Because auto companies are slow moving. In the case of American companies, the reason they haven't gone to plug-in hybrids is the same reason they're so behind on hybrids. They were so focused on heavy vehicles, the truck market, the SUVs, and it made them a lot of money for a few years. And now they're wishing they hadn't. Now on the flip side, you ask why, since hybrids are so successful, why haven't they moved to plug-in hybrids? Toyota is the company to ask that about, because the Prius and their other hybrids are by far the leaders. We think it's because they don't have to. They're making so much money on the regular hybrids, they already have the green mantle, so to speak, that they don't need to introduce a better version of that car just yet. It's technology they almost certainly have. They've probably had a plug-in hybrid on the shelf for a number of years. We suspect that when the market is ready, or when the consumer tide turns toward plug-in hybrids, they'll be ready right off the bat with a car that they can release within a couple of months. They've They've had a lot of things to say, different things to say about plug-in hybrids over the years, and we track that on our website, what automakers have said as time's gone by. At first, they were reluctant to talk about plug-in hybrids. They said they probably weren't feasible for a long time, if at all. The consumers didn't want them. To their credit, this year, they've actually announced a number of times that they are developing plug-in hybrids, which CalCars counts as a big success. It's not quite there. We want them to commercialize them, but they are working on plug-in hybrids, and as we hear through the rumor mill, GM is as well.
What needs to happen for the major automakers to actually act on plug-in hybrids?
Again, we don't think anything has to happen. Everywhere we go with our limited number of cars, the first question people ask us, and that's been so for the past year, is how can I get one? Why do you have one, and why can't I? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, it's just because the automakers aren't making them. There are a couple of small conversion companies that are just coming out that will, for about $10,000 to $12,000, convert a Prius into a plug-in hybrid. Otherwise, you can't get one, and that's really cost prohibitive for most people. So the consumer demand is there. The automakers don't need to wait for that, although they'd probably want to market test that for a long time to make sure. We know that consumers are smart enough to recognize the benefits of plug-in hybrids. The battery question is really the one holdup, and we think that they're very skittish about banking on batteries that have to be used in a different capacity than regular hybrids. In California, hybrid batteries have to be warrantied for 10 years, 150,000 miles, and that's a concern. Lithium ion is the technology they're moving toward in the next version of most of the hybrids. And it's a step further beyond that to have lithium-ion batteries that are capable of working as a plug-in hybrid. Again, we think they're ready. We think it's a risk that's worth taking, and it will probably pay off significantly for the automaker that does it first. But it is a small risk, so that's why. The two or three companies that are starting to offer conversions for sale, they will have as many customers as they can handle. There's that many people on their waiting lists and that have been clamoring for conversions at $10,000, $12,000 a pop for more than a year. The question about Toyota, though, is right. We thought that it was a golden opportunity for Ford or GM, the sort of backwards, quote-unquote, American automakers, to really leapfrog Toyota. This was an opportunity. And in fact, in May, we made public the fact that we had been involved in some discussions with Ford, actually since last November, December. And what we offered them was basically a free skunkworks-type program. All we wanted was their blessing that we could work on their Ford Escape hybrid and get some access to their engineers in addition for their not voiding the warranty on the cars we converted. And then we would give them back anything we developed in terms of intellectual property just to get it done with a different car, a Ford Escape hybrid, and to see if we could motivate an American automaker. But that was turned out to be a fruitless 6 or 8 months of discussions. But we thought it was a golden opportunity, and it's probably running out now for an American automaker to leapfrog Toyota.
Are there infrastructure issues, though, that are also preventing the widespread adoption of a plug-in hybrid auto market in that there are no plug-in stations?
That's one of the major benefits of moving to a plug-in hybrid type system or auto world as opposed to an ethanol or a hydrogen-based auto infrastructure, is the fact that there is no infrastructure needed for a plug-in hybrid. These cars plug into a regular 110, 120 volt outlet in your garage. Their sweet spot is the daily commute. This is a car that has about a 30 to 40 mile electric range every day. For most drivers, that's about the average commute, or that fully covers the average commute, which means that during the week, you might never turn on the gas engine. But you've always got it as a backup. So if you drive more than 40 miles in a day, your gas engine will come on, and then you've just got a regular hybrid. So it's something you don't need to plug in as you're going out and about. You plug it in at home, and if you forget to plug it in, or you go farther than your charge limits, you can always fill up at a gas station. But what's nice about a plug-in hybrid is you don't have to plug in. You get to plug it in. So on a trip where you don't want to bother the hotel proprietor for an extension cord, or you don't travel with one, don't plug it in for the night. And you're getting maybe 50 miles a gallon instead of 100 plus. Felix, our founder, drives it every day, and he is well over 100 miles a gallon of gas. At standard PG&E rates, his cost equivalent to gasoline is just over $1 a gallon. We think it's the ideal basis for future cars, meaning that plug-in hybrids are the basis for most cars. That's the sort of the bedrock of the auto market, or most of the cars. And then on top of that, your liquid fuel which is your range extender fuel, can be just about anything. It can be gasoline, it can be ethanol. Ideally, it's cellulosic ethanol. It could be hydrogen, it could be biodiesel. Flex fuel plug-in hybrids, we think, is the real end game, because number one, you're displacing gasoline with your electricity, and then on top of that, you're using ethanol. We like to focus on cellulosic ethanol, which is ethanol that's not made from corn, it's made from waste grass. And in that case, you're not really using petroleum to produce that that feedstock. The petroleum gains in terms of your oil use for corn-based ethanol are very slight. Cellulosic ethanol, it's almost completely carbon neutral. So if you have a plug-in hybrid plus cellulosic ethanol, as the grid, the electric grid, gets cleaner over time, our cars really start to near zero-emission vehicles, true zero emissions from well to wheel. A good thing about plug-in hybrids, too, is that they decrease our need for ethanol. Right now, we produce less than 10 billion gallons of ethanol a year, and we consume 160 billion gallons of gasoline. So that's a big ramp-up we need, both in terms of production and then in terms of an infrastructure to get that out there. If plug-in hybrids are our basis for automobiles, we only need about 40 billion gallons a year of ethanol, and that's something that can be achieved probably by cellulosic, assuming that we've jumped through some of the final hoops for that.
How much does it cost to modify a hybrid for 100 miles per gallon and to run one and replenish one?
Right now, an aftermarket conversion will run you $10,000 to $12,000. We think Toyota could do it at a large scale for about $3,000 more than the hybrid. So your Prius would be $24,000 to $30,000 instead of $21,000 to $27,000. The cost for a charge, which assuming your daily driving is 30 to 40 miles a day or less, you'd only run electricity for most of that. On the national grid, your average rate would be about 81 cents for 30 miles of driving. Yeah, the national average is about 9 cents a kilowatt hour, and you get 30 miles out of 9 kilowatt hours. So 81 cents is the national average. Of course, that varies. The ideal situation is to charge these cars at night and on off-peak rates, which can be as low as 4 cents a kilowatt hour. And in that case, you're using power that's available because there's excess power at night everywhere. And you're paying maybe 35 to 40 cents for 30 miles of driving.
How long do you think it is before we see these vehicles on the road en masse?
We may very well see a Pearl Harbor type situation with further instability in the Middle East or with other oil producing countries that we rely on, or peak oil being reached, the fact that we start running out of it much more quickly than we think, or various other reasons. We could find ourselves in a situation where we need to displace oil almost immediately. And so, you know, after Pearl Harbor, American automakers stopped making cars and started making planes and trucks and tanks. And in 6 months, they had completely changed their production lines to help support the war effort. We think a similar thing might be needed in the case of moving toward alternative fuels or toward plug-in hybrids. We'd rather not wait till then, till we reach a peak oil, because every day that we move toward less carbon emissions and less oil dependence is much better for the world and much better for America. So in terms of when it can make a significant impact, it's probably a decade away if it started real quickly before we start seeing most cars on the road or most new cars being plug-in hybrid. It's going to take that long for even hybrids to really make their full-scale mark. But you know, within 15, 20 years, if this becomes the de facto standard for cars, almost every car on the road could be a plug-in hybrid.
Give me a rundown of a list of where people can go to get more information on this.
So you can go to calcars.org, C-A-L-C-A-R-S. And we sort of pride ourselves on being a clearinghouse of links and other information on plug-in hybrids. But there are plenty of other things to do and other things to read about. Pluginpartners.org, probably .com as well, is a national movement to line up fleet and consumer buyers who will pledge soft orders toward any automaker who comes up with a plug-in hybrid, meaning that they pledge, it's not a binding pledge, but they say they will buy X number of cars for their fleet, for their city government, for their municipality, when these cars are available. And as of 3 or 4 months ago, they had 7,500 cars pre-ordered or soft ordered, and that's a place where consumers can go also to sign petitions. And if they are fleet buyers, that's definitely where they can have an impact. I know there are a couple of Yahoo groups that focus on electric vehicles. CalCars, our newsletter, is run through Yahoo. So you can sign up through that either at Yahoo Groups, you can sign up at calcars.org, And we first said that it was a low-traffic newsletter, but over the past 6 months, it's become very high-traffic, about a post a day of breaking plug-in hybrid news. So you can subscribe at various levels with Yahoo. You don't have to get every message. We're close allies with the Electric Auto Association. We're working toward the same end goal, which is electrified transportation. The Electric Auto Association is at eaaev.org. They have a couple of Yahoo groups as well. There's a joint project with CalCars and the Electric Auto Association toward an open source plug-in hybrid sort of schematic. So for backyard engineers who want to try and hack into their own Prius, the schematic should actually be available within the next few weeks. And that's at eaa-phev.org. It does void at least the part of the warranty that you are touching. But yes, you definitely will void the battery warranty and the warranty of the elements you touch in the converting your car.
Are you seeing any response from, you know, elected officials or local governments or anything on your initiatives and your work?
Well, that's been one of our focus areas. In addition to getting consumer traction and just consumer interest built and media awareness spread, is to work with policymakers. In May, we took one of our cars back to D.C. Specifically to drive representatives and senators around. I think we had maybe 40 to 45 total. Driving around in the cars and taking a look at them. By and large, across the board, left and right, it's something that all our policymakers support, because if you're a very dyed-in-the-wool Republican, you can really buy into it from an oil dependence issue. The war hawks are hugely in favor of that. If you're far left, the environmental aspects are significant. There's something for everyone with a plug-in hybrid. There have been a number of bills put through the House that involve either plug-in hybrid provisions or focus exclusively on plug-in hybrids. SetAmericaFree.org is an organization working toward a specific bill that includes wide alternative energy options, and that includes some plug-in hybrid funding and some other policies toward plug-in hybrids. So nationally, there's been a lot of effort, and it'll just keep growing. California, we've seen a lot of movement. New York State has allocated $10 million. That's allocated money that will be spent to convert cars to plug-in hybrids. And we'll likely see more of that to follow.
And your final thoughts on the issue?
The one question that we usually get asked first that we avoided here is why plug-in hybrids? It's really, we always tout the triumvirate, the three main goals or main benefits of plug-in hybrids, and it's that they're cleaner. Sort of the major benefits that plug-in hybrids are cleaner. Even though our national grid is about 50% coal, it's still cleaner to drive your car on electricity than it is to drive it on gasoline. It's cheaper. Even at double the national average, at 18 cents a kilowatt hour, you're still paying less than $2 for your 30 miles of driving. And it's domestic. About 1.5% of our electricity is generated by oil. As opposed to 100% of our gasoline being generated by oil. So in terms of getting off of foreign oil, which no matter your politics, is definitely an issue for the American standing in the world and the American military decisions and increasing the American way of life, that's a major issue. So moving towards something as quickly as possible that's not based on oil is a major, major benefit.
My thanks to John Davi, CalCars Director of Communications, for joining me on the podcast. We'll look forward to hearing more from the California Cars Initiative and plug-in hybrids in the months ahead. In Los Angeles, I'm Matt Kelly for PodTech News.